for being here.
If any of you are not on our mail list, receiving newsletter, that's what this is for.
I don't know how many of you are not familiar with what we're doing, but we are working through OCMC, which is the institution for missions outside of the United States for the Orthodox Churches of North America that combined originally through SCOBA to kind of coordinate their efforts. And I had been teaching up in Alaska at St. Herman's Seminary, and then we were approached that the OCMC needed professors, and through them we were able to be in contact with the Church of Albania, who asked us to come and teach at their seminary. So
this is, I don't know, can you see this, or is it, okay. Well, so the, in Albania, the capital now is in Tirana, but the old capital, is it still there?
The old capital was Durres, and that's where the seminary is located. So there are Roman ruins there because that was the Roman administrative capital. But the seminary is actually located outside of Durres on a hill where there was a monastery and dedicated to the martyrdom of St. Blaise, who was thought to have been not perhaps the regular St. Blaise, you know, but he was a martyr on that hilltop. So OCMC concentrates on countries that are not Christian, not majority Christian. I don't know if you aware that most of the mission efforts in the world, you know, if you look at the money and the personnel that are spent on Christian missions in the worldwide by all Christian groups, something close, I think 85% of that goes to missionized Christian countries, actually. That's because a large amount of that effort is Protestant, and so the Roman Catholic and the Orthodox countries are seen as the main places in need of missions. So OCMC tried to change that equation a little bit and to concentrate on countries that are not predominantly Christian. And so although Albania was part of the Roman Empire and became Christian in the times of the Church Fathers, because of two things, it now fits in that category. One was the Muslim conquest of the Near East and the Balkans. In Albania, unlike, let's say, the Bulgaria or Romania, those countries remained majority Christian. But in Albania, the majority has become Muslim. So, you know, before communism, ethnically 70% of the people were of Muslim background. And the other thing that happened was with the end of World War II, Russia took over Eastern Europe and established communism, which of course persecuted the Christian churches in all of the countries, Orthodox countries. But Albania was different because the Russians wanted to replace the dictator. The dictator didn't want to be replaced. So he abandoned his relationship with Russia and connected with China under Mao Zedong. And then in 1967, when the Cultural Revolution occurred in China, the Albania decided to eliminate all religion from the country. And so in 1967, the church at the monastery, where the seminary is now located, was destroyed, and then had its foundations dug out. And then the stone, which was the stone that St. Blaise was martyred on, which performed a lot of miracles of healing, that was ground to gravel and taken out to sea and dumped so that there would be no remembrance of any Christian presence there. And then this was the first of 1,600 Orthodox churches that were destroyed or converted to, in some cases, other uses, warehouses. So the cathedral in Tirana, or a church that was used as the cathedral, which wasn't the original cathedral, but it survived as a gymnasium. So after the communist period, they were able to get it back. So there's a few churches like that that were made into restaurants or something that were able to be recovered, but mostly no.
But anyway, so we are here, but that because
of the elimination of religion combined with the Muslimification of Albania, Orthodox Christianity and Christianity in general is a minority. Orthodoxy was about 20% of the population prior to World War II, but after World War II there were no existing churches, and so OCMC became involved in helping Archbishop Anastasios, who was sent there after the end of communism to try to rebuild the church. So that's why they were kind of starting from almost zero. Archbishop Anastasios is famous. You have his book, Mission in Christ Way, which is a very good book of collecting his articles on missions. He was a big proponent of missionary work in Greece in the 1960s. He became the Bishop of East Africa and helped with the Orthodox mission there. He retired because he was ill, I think with malaria. And then after his retirement is when communism fell. And because he was experienced, he was asked to go and look around and see if there was anything left that could be restored. And so he found people who were still had Christian faith, even though they hadn't been able to have any services or anything. But so then he was made the archbishop for that country. And so now what we've seen, everything that you'll see here is kind of from his work.
Who was that?
Archbishop Anastasios Yanalatos. So his book is on the kind of by the corner there. But he's written a number of books, but that one is particularly about his philosophy of missions, which, it's a good book to read. You'll see, but I mean, he's kind of connects it with a Christian attitude of love based on the divine love that God created everyone out of love, even knowing that the man would fall away and the angels also, that many of them would fall away. But and then of course sent his son to die for give the possibility of salvation to us, and also the Holy Spirit coming to us, so that the church as the body of Christ is that part of being the body of Christ is that we continue the mission of God's love for the world, that we're here to carry out God's intention to bring salvation to everyone. And that's why, in order for the Orthodox Church to sort of be the church, we have to be doing that work as well. As it's part of our spiritual work, the church, probably true for Dionysius and the Areopagite, his book, Ecclesiastical Hierarchies. The church is, he sees the church as the in a way, kind of the tool that God established in the world along with the angels, and as a way of leading us not just to being Christians but to be united to God. So the church's presence is always kind of an evangelistic presence of bringing people to God and to communion with God. But so we're doing that here. I mean, that's why you have any place you have a church, we're taking people, and we're even the people here are bringing us closer to God. We're taking people who are outside the church and bringing them in. And we're doing it in every Christian country around the world, but we're also trying to do this because God wants to save everyone. We are also taking part in this, in trying to bring this into places where the churches don't exist. So. So this is, anyway, how we ended up here.
Yeah. But he came from Greece as well.
Yes, he's from Greece. And actually, because of his success in, let's say, were you looking for the book? Or?
Yeah, I couldn't find it.
Oh, excuse me.
That's what I was trying to avoid this.
Oh, okay. But because he was successful in Greece, actually there are a lot of people in Greece now that mission organizations that have really helped propose support missions in Africa and other places, as well as his work in Albania. Okay, this is where we go to church. This is down in the city of Durres. The original cathedral in Durres is under the mosque in the center of the city. The new cathedral is under the federal police building. And so this is the third cathedral location that was built after the communists in some land that was reclaimed from the harbor. So we originally were going at the monastery up where we were, but most of the students leave for the weekends to go serve in their parishes, so we decided we needed to have more exposure to other people, so we started going here on Sundays. This is just one picture of the amphitheater. So this would have held about 18,000 people. The ground level at the bottom there is about 15 feet too high, so that's where there were gladiator games, and also the second bishop of Durres. So the first bishop was Saint Apostle Caesarius, second bishop was Asti, and he was crucified just outside the amphitheater in the forum. So at the same time, if you're familiar with Saint Ignatius of Antioch, about 115, so exactly that time is when Saint Asti was killed. Okay, that's just one of the very few remains of the patristic period. This is a cathedral in the 6th century down in the very southern part of Albania. There's almost nothing of this left, so I just put in. It's a big difference when you go to Greece. You know, you go to Greece or Serbia, there's like Orthodox churches all over the place, old churches. That's what you really notice that coming from Albania, because in Albania there's really very few remains of the pre-communist period. See some, well, there's some out in the countryside. You'll see some ruins from the Turkish period, but not much at all, actually, except in a few places. This is in Berat. This box here is the skull of Saint Nicodemus of Berat. He was a Christian living there who converted to Islam. So why is he Saint Nicodemus of Berat? But he converted for some reason. I don't remember whether it was to avoid taxes or to marry someone, but he did. And then afterwards, he was sorry that he had done that, and he went to Mount Athos and became a monk. And after living as a monk for many years, he decided that he needed to come back to Berat and publicly repent of having left the Christian church. So when he did that, the Turkish government there threw him off of the castle tower, one of the towers, and then he didn't die, so they beheaded him, and his body was put into a church down at the bottom of the castle hill, which was destroyed by the Italians in World War II. But when it was being burned, one of the local families took his head out and preserved it secretly. So all through the communist period, this family kept it hidden. And then just 2 years ago, they presented it to the church. So this is some of our seminarians on a school trip to Berat. So we've been able to venerate that was 1722 that happened. And if I there. Okay, so I'm standing at the base of the tower that he was thrown off of. And you'll see like a little chapel down at the bottom here.
So that's kind of near where his body landed. That chapel's actually an old chapel because this city of Berat is a medieval city that was preserved. So it was made into a museum city. So actually that's why there are some churches preserved there. But
this hillside, by the way, has caves where in early Christian times there were hermits living. And the chapel was built in medieval times for the liturgies of the hermits. This is the grave of St. Cosmas Tolis. So he was a monk in the 1700s on Mount Athos who was well educated. And that he noticed that in many places under the Turks, because there was not enough clergy, there weren't education, that many of the people were losing their Christian faith. So he asked to be allowed to leave Mount Athos to go and preach, and which was granted. And so for 25 years, he traveled around Greece and Albania, teaching in the villages. He established over 200 schools. And the areas where he traveled around, those are the areas in Albania anyway, that where Christian faith was preserved. But eventually, the Turks beheaded him and threw his body in a river, and this is the place on the bank of the river where it washed up. And then a monastery was built there that was kind of in ruins during the communist period, and it was because of the river being nearby, it was filled with mud. So at the end of the communist period, the archbishop had the young people digging out the old ruins, and they found the fresco of St. Cosmas and his grave there. So it was actually preserved by being under the mud during that time. Okay, well, this is Archbishop, so the author of the book, but also the person who's sort of coordinated everything happening in Albania. And his vision has been to try to, not just to try to restore churches for the what's left of the Orthodox minority, but to try to reach out to the whole society, former communists and Muslim, the Muslim majority as well. And so this is him with some of the bishops there. So we just last year they made two new dioceses in Albania to try to. Well, because the old dioceses were very large, and so especially the areas where the Orthodox are strongest, we didn't really have enough administrative people, so they divided some of those areas up. And so now, of these, some of these Albanian bishops, so this bishop here, he's the new bishop, metropolitan of the new diocese of Elbasan, and he's from a Sufi Muslim background, because the Sufi Muslims are strong in Albania. This bishop over here, Metropolitan Nicola, he's the director of the seminary, and he's the new bishop of the new diocese of Fier, which is in southern Albania, central part. But he's from a Sunni Muslim background. And this one here, Metropolitan John of Korcha, he's been a bishop for some time, but he's also from a Sufi Muslim background. So we have another Albanian bishop, Bishop Asti, who's an auxiliary bishop. He's actually from an Orthodox background. But oddly, he didn't know that he was from a Christian background. He, because at that time, the government used your children to try to find out what the parents were up to. And so many parents were afraid, you know, that if their children knew the parents were believers or that they were praying or anything like that, that they would be tricked into saying something in school. And I remember hearing about this in Russia, where they, you know, the teachers told the children in the springtime about that there was a terrible disease attacking the chickens in Russia, and it's, you know, that the government, you know, wanted to help out by curing this disease before it spread. But the way, you know, if any of the children saw any red eggs,
know, that was a sign that there would, you know, that their chickens had sickness and needed medicine, and so that they should immediately tell the, you know, tell the teacher, and she could get help. So this way, families that were celebrating Pascha, of course, were all turned in by their children. So the other bishop, anyway, his family actually were believers and had icons, but they never took anything out until the children were in bed. So it was only after communism that he realized that all those years his parents were Christians. This is the seminary, and perhaps you've seen, you might have seen this before, but this is a very special picture because it's white. There's this white thing, stuff here. This is something that's not normally ever there, but so the last time was 7 years ago, but we had a week of it because we had a real cold snap this year. So this is where the monastery was, and this is the monastery church replaced with a new church of St. Blasch. And then here, this is the seminary complex with our daily chapel and the library, classrooms, and then the men's dorm here. And now they just completed, about 2 years ago, they completed a women's dormitory on the other side of the hill, where they also have a women's monastery next to it. So, because we have about half of our students are women, actually. So,
are the cypresses normally like that, or is that from the freeze?
The which
bent over.
Oh, that's probably from the ice. You know, the snow. Ice. Yeah, I think so. They don't. Okay, this is the school trip to Barat. So you can see here many of the students and some of the faculty members, and we're visiting Metropolitan Ignatius of Barat, sort of in the middle. There. This is one of the classrooms in the school. So see, we have a nice building with classes. This is my second year patrology class. So I teach patristics and church history. Karen has been teaching English there. And we had, it's a 4-year undergraduate program, and we had 43 students this year. So,
where do the students go after they graduate?
Okay, so all of the students are Albanians, although some of them, we have a student from Macedonia, because all the borders are artificial, because it was the Roman Empire originally, and then after that was the Turkish Empire. So people are all kind of mixed together, actually, in the Balkans. But we have Albanians living in other countries. So this was in outside of Albania mostly. So like in Macedonia, Kosovo, Montenegro, the Albanians there, those countries are mostly Muslims. But there are Christian ones, and so we have a student from there that was sent by a bishop in Macedonia to be trained so that he could work with Albanian people, both the ones that are Christian, but also to reach out. But mostly, they will stay in Albania. They'll be working for the church. Initially, all of them probably through the different departments. So they have a department of Sunday school, because here you might think, okay, if you have children, you want to have a Sunday school classroom. You just take the parents or the older people, and they would teach the children about the basics of the Christian faith. But in a country where there were no classes, no teaching, no services for a long time, the older people really are not prepared to do that. So the students that graduate here are hired by their diocese to go and teach Sunday school classes in the different villages. And this is because not every village has a church, a functioning church with a priest, so the what they call the catechists, they do different, so it's not just Sundays, but on different days they work with different groups at different villages. And then we also have a big ministry for university students, especially in Toronto where the state university is, and there's also lots of private colleges. So everybody kind of will start out there that will be working for the church. Those who would be seeking ordination, they're generally pretty strict about the canonical ages, and then also, of course, they often have to be married beforehand. So because these are undergraduates, they're young when they finish. And to be a priest, the canonical age is 30. So you would, what happens is everybody's kind of working for the church, and then eventually some of those people will become deacons, and then eventually down the line, some of them will become priests. So it's a kind of slow process at this point. When they first started the church in Albania after communism, seminary program was only 6 months. People were ordained quickly, but now they've made it kind of a longer process.
But that, at that time, because they didn't have any clergy, so that was. So this is, so besides our regular classes, we often have, you know, talks for other things. So this was a talk at the school for a program on the three saints. And then this person sitting next to me, that's my translator. So he's a graduate of the school who works for the church as a English language translator. And so so he comes in, because this way I can just give the lectures in English, which is easier for me, and then he can translate them, because he's all familiar with the material, he can translate to Albanian, and that's easier for the students. So even though we now can communicate with our students directly, but it's sort of you know, limited by our abilities, and it's also, you know, it takes some effort on everyone's part, so it's not what we wanted to do for this classes. This is a women's group that is meeting down in the, after the liturgy at the cathedral in Duras, and so at this occasion Karen was asked to speak with them. So this is just kind of example. Okay, this is the choir. This was at graduation there.
Can you tell us what they're singing?
Yeah. This is your holy name. I wanted to be a sacrifice. I want to become a fire. I wanted to be given unto you, but instead you died for me, and you gave us love.
This year, Karen was taking a visiting music class there and became a part of the choir.
This is not a church song. It's okay. Something that you might be singing at a church camp or at a feast after meals or something. It's a Christian folk song. Translate from, now we're singing Greek. It's translated from Greek into Albanian.
The first all Greek to me.
Yeah. This is the cathedral in Tirana. This is they have a space for the youth group. It's like a college age student, but doesn't like end when you graduate. Some place I've heard, you know, where you graduate college, well, now you're not part of the group anymore, and it kind of disconnects people. But there, the college group really runs into the young adult group, probably. 30s or something, you know, it's all those young people from when the church was getting going, and they keep it going. So they have lots of activities that they do, and occasionally we are invited to different things, but this case I was invited to give a talk.
And this is the, over here is the Albanian auxiliary bishop, Bishop Asti, who is the one
I mentioned who didn't realize that his parents were Christians.
Were his parents alive when you realized it?
Yeah, I think they were, yeah.
And Bishop Osti, he not only helps with the student group and helps with the church in Toronto, but he has a very strong outreach to the poor and to just the people on the street, the street people, and to the gypsies. Right. The gypsies are looked down on as definitely as second-class citizens there. They have dark skin, they live in tents, they're very poor, and they're often thieves, and they're often anti-social, have a lot of anti-social behavior. And when people among the Roma, the gypsies, want to become Christian, the other people are often like, we don't want them in our church. So he's kind of helped to work through some of this.
Okay, this is the graduation this year. So these are the students that completed the four-year program in theology.
So that's at the
seminary. This is the seminary.
Seminary.
Yeah. There's also a church college in Tirana, but that's separate. We don't have activities together. I mean, they have their own program. This is the, now this is like most of the students and probably most of the faculty, I think, were there, just happened to be there for the graduation day. And I'll just, I'll give you two more short videos. One will be the Paschal service at the seminary, at the monastery. Actually, the students are all at their parishes, so they're not there, but you could just to hear them sing Christ is Risen in Albanian. Yeah, so, the deck is death, and actually barrow, is the word for the graves.
That's neat. Yeah. Barrow.
Yeah. There's a number of
similar, like
Anglo-Saxon connections.
Right, right.
And I think it's because the Albanian probably comes from the near Indo-European group that was up in Central Europe and came down before the Roman Empire. And then actually a lot of the vocabulary now, though, is from Latin, really. Actually, a lot of the words and a lot of Greek words. There's about 2,000 Greek words in Albanian. And, of course, lots of Turkish words, too. Use them because they're the words. The last thing is just, it's a custom in Albania when they have a parish feast of some kind that they have like a little dinner after, and then they like to sing folk songs, or lots of folk songs. So this is it's really kind of neat. I mean, on the one hand, Albania is a, in some ways, kind of hostile country to Christianity, and it's a, can be kind of depressing place because it's sort of poor and it's very secular, it's mostly Muslim. But among the Orthodox people, there's a sort of a core, it's enthusiasm, it's a sort of vice. But so anyway, this custom, I decided
to record one. So that what you'll see is actually at the seminary refectory, unfortunately only the head table is in the video. This was for the feast day of the convent there, which was Myrrh-bearing women, so it's right after Pascha, and it's a Christian folk song. Not all the folk songs they sing are Christian parishes. They sing lots of love songs and all kinds of whatever the local songs are, but anyway, this one is a Christian song. Oops, not that one. Oh, sorry. And the people in this next one will be our bishop, who's the director, a monk next to him, and then our nun across the table from him. Zuar means rejoice. I actually couldn't follow.
Okay. I actually can't hear all the words to try to translate.
Thank you. This is just the other side of life there, that just, camaraderie and kind of joyful aspect that you don't get from normally conversations with me a little bit. What it's like.
So
we've been there 4 years. The school has been going now from, I think, 91 when they first started meeting down in Duras and gradually building up. But we've been able to do that actually through OCMC. OCMC coordinates missions by kind of putting people in contact with these churches that need help trying to get the right person to the right place, and then they also kind of manage the support, but they don't actually provide the support. So it's really through your donations actually to our work specifically that we have been able to be there for 4 years. So thank you very much for having supported us while we're there and making it possible for us to do that. And so that's just also why we kind of travel around, just to let people know about us. Because the only OCMC raises money for to run the organization in Florida, but actually all the individual missionaries have to raise support specifically for themselves through OCMC, but has to be designated. And so this is their system, so that's why we do it this way. But
are your borders closed there?
The borders?
Can you drive from Greece to there?
You can, yeah. Just their borders, I mean, they don't really have a refugee problem because, I mean, well, the refugee problem, I guess, is the border, you know, the borders going out of Albania. You know, there's kind of some guards there, but for you know other countries, because the yeah, I think almost like a quarter of the population of Albania lives abroad, working in other countries, because the economy in Albania, well, in some ways, kind of open, but there's it's because of the corruption and many other factors. I guess the you know, there's not very much investment in Albania. There's not a lot of jobs, so people generally want to leave Albania. So, yeah, the, we don't really have the problem of people like, you know, all struggling to get into Albania.
They don't really need to build a wall.
They don't have too many walls there.
Dr. Jeff Weeks mentioned that he drove. They drove to Thessaloniki.
Yes, right. So that's last summer.
That's what I was wondering.
What was it?
Six hours. We went to Ioannina. That's about 4.5 hours.
He also mentioned the possibility that he considered driving to Istanbul.
Well, I just thought of that. Actually, we were talking this summer, and I hadn't really thought about that, but you can do it, because I'd never been there, so I thought, well, maybe someday we'll just drive over there.
Not to Rome, but it takes a lot. It's very long to go to Istanbul or to Italy, because we have to go up and then down.
It would be a great adventure, I think.
Well, Istanbul is close to Thessaloniki, so it would
be. No, I was saying for Rome.
For Rome,
but
it's just the normal rigmarole right. Crossing borders.
I want to mention this to people. Some of us donate, and I have noticed that at the beginning of the year, January, February, March, our donations don't automatically roll over. Last year, I had to make a special effort, call up and let them know I wanted to continue January, February, March, and I know this year, the beginning of the year, maybe not everybody's had this experience, but the first few months, they did not have an automatic donation from me.
Who did you have to call?
I called OCMC.
So we can be sending a check at OCMC that's not necessarily getting to you.
Well, unless you put our name on it.
Oh, well, we do. We do. Our parish donation does.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm saying that it might be good to check that what they send to you, and if you notice what donations they mention that you have made, if it doesn't start in January, you might want to give them a call.
And also, if your credit card changes, they're supposed to notify us if something drops off like that, but they don't.
Yeah.
Generally, they almost never have.
Right.
So it's become that eventually we can see it, but then, you know, it's kind of awkward.
Is your support
to say, hey, we don't
dwindling then? Has it gone down?
What we've noticed now, just from two cycles, that when you're so when we first are here and we go. That's not bad, you know, because people remember us. But we noticed by the second year that we're away, definitely,
So were you here just 2 years ago?
Our second year is always...
I thought it was pretty recently, but then when I saw your children, how much bigger they are, I said, it must have been 4 years. Because look how big their children got.
We were here... I think the November.
I think you were here also 4 years ago.
Yeah, 4 years ago before we actually went, and then we were here briefly 2 years ago.
2015.
Yeah.
So, 2015.
Yeah.
In the summer.
So that was right. So that was the summer we were at your house. So
right.
Thank you. If you have any questions,
my life is kind of divided by the four.
Anybody else want to send an email?
We're on it.
Stuck on my.
We're
on it. Very good.
Thank you for spending time and coming again.